Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time. We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of 1 John, and today I want to continue to look at what John taught about our joy being full. So let's turn in our Bibles and read 1 John chapter 2, verses 29 through chapter 3, verse 3, again together. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of him. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. Now, on the last broadcast, we were exploring our great joy that comes from being saved and following the Lamb. You see, the human body, as well as the human spirit, soul, and mind, were originally created to serve and worship God. So anything else that a person does should be secondary to that. So because that is true, only by being redeemed and coming back into right relationship with God, a relationship that we lost in the fall, and then by applying our heart to know God and to love and serve and obey him, can a man find true joy. This is why John wrote this epistle, so that mankind can recover this great joy. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 4, the apostle says, "These things we write so that our joy may be made complete." So as we discussed last time, every aspect of the Christian life is not so that we may be bound in endless legalistic rules and regulations that weigh us down and that sap our life and our love and our joy, but every requirement of God, every warning against sin, every rebuke of unrighteousness is designed solely to give the believer access to the fullness of joy that only God can give through Jesus Christ, and to allow the believer the glorious opportunity to remain in that joy. So being a Christian means that although we live in this present evil world, we can and we must maintain fellowship with God and with the Son through the Spirit. Then John goes on to say that there are certain conditions which are absolutely vital and essential to the maintenance of that fellowship and that walk with God, so that joy can be full and so that joy can remain. Everything that John has been discussing up until now is to inform us and enlighten us so that we may maintain this fellowship and this joy with God. Now, all of this may be summed up in one word: righteousness. This is what John has been saying to us all of this time, just in different ways. For example, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. "This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." 1 John 1, 7. "But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin." 1 John 2, verse 3. "By this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments." Now, all of these things say to us that if we are part of the family of God, then righteousness is our portion. And the fruit of that righteousness, the result of that righteousness, is full and remaining joy. So we can see then that righteousness is the essential element in maintaining our fellowship with God. So John is very anxious for us to meet these conditions so that we may walk in righteousness to the end, that we may receive the fruit of a righteous life, which is the fullness of joy. So until we get to verse 29 of chapter 2, righteousness is the theme. But now John changes course on us. What John is saying to us in verse 29 is different. He says there, "If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of him." In other words, John wants us to know that not only do we have fellowship with God, but now he wants us to know that we are now born of God, that we are his children, and we are his sons. We who are part of the family do not simply have an external arm's length acquaintance with God, but we possess an internal relationship of being the product of his seed and his birth. So this family connection means that we are not simply loosely associated with Christ, but that by the great miracle of justification, we are now part of his lineage and have his royal blood now flowing in our veins. And that means that we are actually related to Jesus by blood, and that we have been adopted into his heavenly family. Now, don't lose sight of how enormous a miracle this is and what great cost to God our adoption required. We who were born in sin and shaped in iniquity had no way to fix our own dilemma. The Bible says that we were conceived in the womb as the enemies of God, guilty of the sin of Adam and in possession of the sinful nature of Adam, so that at the very moment of conception, we were blind, deaf, and dead in sins and transgressions, totally and completely separated from God, aliens of the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, and that we were at that time without God and without hope in this world. And our sinful fallen nature was such that even though we were in this horrible and dreadful condition, we had the audacity to think that we were really actually good people. And that we really weren't that bad, and that we really couldn't see why God would not love us as much as we loved ourselves. And part and parcel of that fallen nature was our natural inclination to not only fight against God, not only to rebel against God's will, but also we had the inclination to want to be God. You see, part of the fallen condition of man is that he wants to do what is right in his own eyes. He wants to live according to his own will and do according to what pleases him rather than submit to God's will. We don't even have to try hard to be like this. This is the natural outflow of being fallen. But along with that fallen condition is the inability to have this full and remaining joy. Lost people can have joy. They can laugh and have fun, but only to a point. You see, the joy of fallen man is totally bound by the temporary and carnal and sinful world. The joy that is from God, however, and that is full and that remains is based solely upon the character and nature of God and is shared with only those who have been regenerated by the power of God. Those who are still lost can have joy, but only limited and temporary joy that is inescapably linked to his surroundings and earthly influences. The joy of the Lord is not bound by circumstances. It is not dictated by situations. It transcends politics. It is free to be both full and eternal, regardless of what state we might find ourselves in. So it is wrong to say that joy is a state of mind, that is, grossly underestimating the great gift of joy. Your mind and my mind is only as good as the quality of information that we have poured into it. That which goes in your eyes and ears is what feeds your mind. So garbage in, garbage out. If you feed on a steady diet of this world, then your mind and therefore your joy will not be what John is speaking about here. However, if you put into your eyes and ears things that are eternal and holy, then your mind and therefore your joy will be both full and remaining. But the bottom line here is that it all depends on whether or not you're saved. A lost man trying to apply certain spiritual techniques so that he can have this joy is a total waste of time. A lost person trying to have this joy is like a tank trying to swim. You just can't get there from here. John is telling us very clearly that this full and remaining joy is part and parcel to being saved. Full and remaining joy is not simply about psyching yourself up or trying to self-hypnotize yourself into believing this. It isn't about buying the latest pop psychology bestseller so that you can learn new methods or clever techniques on how to be happy. It is a matter of belonging to Jesus. And this is what John meant when he said in verse 29, "Everyone also who practices righteousness is born of him." And this is what he meant when he said this in 1 John 3, verse 1, For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. And what He meant when He said this in verse 3 of chapter 3, and everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Now, John was not teaching here that some saved people pursue after righteousness, while others, who are equally saved, choose not to follow after righteousness. Not at all. John was teaching here that doing righteousness and being like Jesus and purifying yourself is the normal and natural fruit of being born from above. So we can conclude, therefore, that those who do not follow after righteousness, those who dwell in darkness, those who enjoy their sin, those who are not like Jesus, but who are like the lost world, those who do not purify themselves, don't have these attributes simply because they're not saved. And if they're not saved, then they don't belong to Jesus. So in other words, John teaches that if a person is born of God, then he belongs to God. He no longer belongs to himself. The only people who still have claim over their own lives are those who do not belong to Jesus. And if a man belongs to Jesus, by definition, he will live a certain life. He will pursue certain things. He will follow after certain attributes. He will love certain aspects that the world does not follow after. He may not always be successful in obtaining what he follows after, but he will consistently and relentlessly follow after and pursue them. And by default, this also means that if he is still lost, he will not live a godly life. He will not pursue after the holy things. He will not follow heavenly attributes, and he will not love heavenly aspects. Now, John was very much to the point about things like this. I mean, after all, he was one of the sons of thunder, and because of that, there are many people within the modern church have actually called the Apostle John rude or unloving, and some have even suggested in church history that John was unchristian because of the brutal way of phrasing things in his epistle. But I want you to know that I disagree with these people. We need to remember that the words that we find here are not just John's words. It's true that John used his own language and he used his own thoughts, but there was a mysterious process called inspiration, whereby the Holy Spirit moved upon the Apostle John to pin down these words. And so they are inspired words that came right out of the mind and the heart and the mouth of Almighty God. And so I think we're going to have to be very careful before we say that John would have been better off if he hadn't spoken so frankly. What we should say is how bold those are who say that they are saved and yet do not live godly lives. Now, that is what is rude. That is what is harsh. And that is definitely unchristian, to portray yourself as being something that you're not. But it's not rude or harsh or unchristian when John rebukes their deception. Those who try to teach that serving God is optional, those are the ones who are wrong, and they're the ones who are doing great damage into the church, not the apostle who writes here to correct them. We need to remember that it is the words of John and Peter and Paul and Moses and Isaiah and all of the writers of Scripture. It is those words that keeps us straight. It is those words that causes us to understand right and wrong and up and down and left and right and what is holy and what is profane. And so we need these words. What is rude and what is harsh and what is destructive and what is unchristian is people holding themselves out to be something that they're not. Well, I've got to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of 1 John. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the Internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time. May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.